Today on Real Radio.
This is a liar. The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. You can't embrace the Father and not embrace the Son. You can't embrace the Son and not embrace the Father. You have to embrace the Father and the Son. The Bible makes that very clear.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Chapter 19 contains one of the recorded accounts of the religionists challenging the Messiah with trick questions. Once again, Jesus of Nazareth demonstrates his divine wisdom. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Show Us Your God.
Are you going to survive the days that are coming? The pressures as we live on in this life that is increasingly turning antichrist. Listen, you won't if you take your eyes off the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And so show us your God. Well, for Demas, it was the world. For these Pharisees and scribes, these religious leaders, it was themselves. Secondly, at verse 20, we learn this. When you show us your God, you're showing us your priorities in this sense when manipulation is at work. Listen, my friends, listen carefully to this. And there's no way to qualify. There's no way to measure what I'm about to say. But a Christian who trusts God will not manipulate. You guys, you and I have been brought up in a culture that has taught us how to manipulate people. We go to seminars to learn how to manipulate people so we can sell them that thing that they don't want. Manipulation's a big deal. Women manipulate men. Men manipulate women. Children manipulate them both. Manipulation's a big deal. It's a very cunning thing of the human nature. These men are manipulators. Look at verse 20. It says they watched him. The word is amazing. The best I could do is to have you look at me right now like this. They watched him like this. They had microscopes, telescopes, every kind of scope on him, watching Jesus. What do you think? To watch Jesus so that they might learn something and become like him? Oh, no. They watched him because they had a very evil plan. They sent spies, it says, who pretended to be righteous. Wouldn't it have been easier for them just to become Christians and follow Jesus? This is hard work. You got to hire spies. Can you imagine these guys? They got their robes on and they're cloaking around. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm pretending to be righteous. What are you doing? Following Jesus? Amazing. It's much easier to just give up and follow Christ. Absolutely bizarre. But they looked religious. They sounded religious. They thought religious. But the thing is, they were not for real. They were fraudulent. They were manipulators. A real, personal, sacrificial God has somewhere or is somewhere on their list. They would not tolerate the fact that Jesus was manifesting to them God in human flesh. They couldn't handle that. And the thought of that was somewhere else in their lives. There's no way. We're not going to stand for this. And so, rather than trust God, church, listen, have things ever not gone your way? Man, if they have always gone your way, raise your hand. We're going home with you today because we want to be with you. Things don't go your way, my way, all the time. In fact, things don't go our way often, do they? But God's on the throne. Does he not know? Do we not just trust him? When we don't understand stuff, do we just say, Lord, we trust you? Trust him. But if you don't do that, you're going to be in the human effort to manipulate things and bring things about with your own strength and your own manipulative ways, saying things, doing things, promoting yourself, demoting others. Watch out. They're tearing Jesus down. You know the old saying. They're really tearing Jesus down so they might elevate themselves. You guys, I got to tell you something. It is the cutest thing I saw this morning. And it has to do with manipulation. And I thought about it. You know, these priests wore incredible black robes and white robes and blue robes. And they looked great. This morning, because I'm a weirdo and I'm getting ready, I got up a little bit before 3 o'clock this morning. And you guys know I do that on Sunday mornings. I'm getting ready, putting my thoughts together, praying. And I was out in the backyard. And at 4:05 this morning, I was standing there in the darkness, and I moved just enough to trigger the motion, you know, the sensor lights that you guys all have. The light came on, and about 20 feet ahead of me in the dark, looking right at me in my backyard, was this little tiny, he was about 8 inches long, skunk. A little baby skunk. And you guys, I would have given anything to have it on video. He saw me, the light came on. He saw me, he looked like this, and then he goes. He stuck out his legs straight in the front, and he's looking right at me, and he raised his tail, and he went. And I literally saw in the light, that high intensity light, this little poof in the back as he released his skunkness. And he just looked, and I smiled at him. And I wanted to pick him up, but the stink was amazing, as you all know. And I just got out of the way, and I went and got my daughter. Wake up, get up, get up. You've got to see this. So she came to the window, and there he goes right down the walkway. He's just tooling along. So cute. What was he trying to do to me? What's the word? He was trying to manipulate me in thinking, I'm bad. I am so bad, and I'll show you something. It was the cutest thing in the world. And when people try to manipulate, when you see that, if it wasn't so tragic, it's comical. Oh, Pastor, do you know who I am? Oh, what is that? I mean, in my mind, I'm saying, oh, what are you all about? You're all about you. If you really knew, you know, oh, stop. Don't you realize it's so funny? People can see through that. These guys were pretending to be righteous. The funny thing was only the idiots could fall for that. Everybody who was walking with God said, I see someone pretending. But when we pretend, we deceive ourselves first before we ever deceive other people. Did you know that? That's how it gets out of the closet. We deceive ourselves, and we are so convinced that we're righteous that we go out in front of the world having deceived ourselves, and we go, and we think we're fooling them. And they're laughing inside. And you want to be some big bad person and some big holy moly. And all people want to do is pick you up and burp you and change your diaper and comfort you because you're really, really a sad little case. It's amazing. Manipulation. It's ridiculous. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, for men will be lovers of themselves in the last days, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents in the last days, unthankful people, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, who having a form of godliness, right? Hypocrisy, manipulation, but denying its power thereof, from such people turn away from them, for of this sort are those who creep into households and lead people astray. Wow. Thirdly, under this first point, you show us your priorities by showing us who your God is, because when agendas are in play, your priorities are exposed. It says that they might seize him. See that at the end of verse 20? They might seize him on his words to deliver him to the power and to the authority of the governor. Do you remember how this whole thing started? Didn't they denounce and doubt the authority and power of Jesus Christ himself? That's how it all started. What are they trying to do? They're trying to take Jesus, who they don't agree of his authority or power, and take him to the civil powers that Jesus might be condemned. Absolute hypocrites in their actions. Jesus was discerning of their actions. The world, my friend, today has an agenda. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says in 1 John 2:22, who is a liar? You say, well, who's a liar? Well, 1 John 2:2 says, this is a liar. The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, wow. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. You can't embrace the Father and not embrace the Son. You can't embrace the Son and not embrace the Father. You have to embrace the Father and the Son. The Bible makes that very clear. But mark this very well. A man-centered agenda, my friends, will always be accompanied by a critical, judgmental spirit that's quick to condemn people. Is that not what these guys are like? Do we know anybody who's cloaked in righteousness? Do we know anybody in our Christian lives? Are we that person who's cloaked in Christianity but is very critical of other people, very, very, very cynical about other people, always able to come and say, brother, let me tell you what your error is in your life. You know what? That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. That's what the Spirit of God does in your life and my life. When these guys come along, they are people that have an agenda, and for their agenda to be empowered, they've got to depower you with their condemnation. And they'll tear people down, and that's exactly the agenda. That they might seize upon his words to deliver him. Now look, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I've alluded to it this morning already. As a Christian today, the world is watching our words. And they might hear what we say, but they're not listening to it. I want to thank you guys for praying for me last Tuesday, by the way. That was I want you to know publicly, I want to announce, I literally felt your prayers. Lisa and I got to Fox Studios last Tuesday early in the morning, and God's hand was there. And I'm telling you, it was wonderful because when I got there, lo and behold, a very faithful young lady in this church who attends here without fail, I get there, and guess what? She greets me there. She works there. She works on the set of Good Day LA there at Fox. And on all the news channels that are all going on, my goodness, the studios were amazing. In every direction, there's a different studio thing happening. Walked in, and I told Lisa, I said, you know what? The Lord has just given us a peace. We're going to go in there, and we're just going to, listen, you'll hear more about this later. We're going to just treat everybody like they're Christians. We're just going to walk in there and love on them. And we walked in there, and when I parked the car for one thing and came into the front door, the gentleman behind the security desk, he said, hi, how are you doing? And he said, you must be Jack Hibbs. I said, I am, thank you. He goes, yes, okay, you're going to go over here. And I want you to know I'm praying for your throat. Really? Thank you, sir. That's amazing. Thank you. What's your name? I met him, went down the hallway, and they took me to makeup. I go in there and I sat down, and this girl, Robin, she came out, and she goes, hi, Pastor Jack. I went through your Revelation series. I live in Malibu, and every morning my husband and I wake up and we decide, are we going to go to Calvary Chino Hills, or are we going to go to Malibu, our church here? And I want you to know, we went through the Revelation series with you, and we shared it with our friends. I'm going, oh, this can't be real. This is amazing. And you guys, by the time we left, we wound up meeting 7 Christians. And by the end of that news interview, which was amazing, a couple of them were praying during the first interview that maybe you watched at 8 o'clock, and then the executive producer said, can you stay for the 10 o'clock news broadcast? We want to do you again at 10 o'clock. I said, anything you want to do, anything. And the amazing thing was you guys were praying and we just went forth in the love of God. And I said what I said and people responded from the news and they said, you know what, that came across kind. Thank you for being kind. And then others said, Pastor Jack, we prayed for you. Praise the Lord. And then I got several emails that said, I can't believe you're a hate monger and how mean you are. And I'm thinking, gosh, did they see the same program we just did? It doesn't matter what you say in this world. If it doesn't sit well with some people, they're going to absolutely come after you. Tell me what Jesus said that justified these Pharisees and scribes to come after him like that. The answer is nothing. They had an agenda. And that agenda was to destroy him. Point number 2 this morning, it's this. It's regarding ethics. Show us your God and I'll show you your ethics. Verses 21 to 22. By ethics, I mean moral code or your conduct. Ethics is a very important thing. All of you have one, an ethic by which you live by. It means what you think, what you live, your beliefs that govern your actions and the values of your life. You have ethics. Every person does. And so when you show me your God, you're going to show me your ethics. So the first thing we see in verse 21, ethics can be displayed by what you say and do. Is that not true? Think about it. And then they asked him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly." That's amazing. "We know that you speak the truth." Church, my friends, did they believe it? They said what was true, but did they believe the truth? I have no idea. I want to say no. I don't get these guys. But what they are saying is, "Jesus, you are right on." Well, then why don't you follow him, you guys? If you claim to know God, then why don't you get in line with what God has said? And so this is the butter up moment. You know, when somebody comes and tells you, "Hi, you know what? I really love you. I think you're wonderful." Guess what's coming? That's called the butter up. The butter up comes before you get eaten. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you guys get hate mail? Ever? Give me your address. I'll send you some. It's the butter up. So they're buttering up. "You are right on, Jesus. You're amazing." But listen, the things that you and I say and do in our lives, this is going to hurt. It's been hurting me for 3 days, so I can't wait for it to hurt you now. What you and I say and do defines who we are. See, you and I can walk around here saying, "I'm a Christian." Well, that's right on. That's fantastic. But listen, we won't know if that's true or not until we watch and listen to what you say and do. That's what defines us. Who are we? Well, it's what I say and do, what defines me. And what is that? That's my ethic. That's what I live by. That's my moral code. And these guys, pride and hypocrisy, my friend, never separate the two. Pride and hypocrisy can never be separated. They are Bobsey twins of evil. Hypocrisy has wounded a lot of people in this world, continues to do so. It's a tragic thing. People draw conclusions by what we say and by what we do and the attitude in which we express ourselves. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 14, Psalm 19, 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God." Why is that an important prayer? Isn't that a great prayer? Wonderful prayer. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, God." Why? It's all invisible. It's before God. Why is it important? Because what I do privately before my God, show me your God. Do you have a God? What God is it? What I do with that God will be manifested in my private life, which dictates my ethic of living publicly. What I say and do matters. Kids know this. We've even made a little perverse parable about it. Do as I say and not as I do. That's impossible. Kids are sponges. They're sponges with little legs on them. Not SpongeBob, but I'm thinking. Kids are sponges with little legs and hands, and they listen to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and school teacher and police officer and people of authority, pastors included. They listen to those who God's established as authoritative figures. Amazing. But that's the way of God. And they listen and they take it in. That's why big sisters and big brothers are so important. That's why your friends are so important. They actually help shape who and what you are. And so when someone says something, that little kid, listen, he's hanging on to it. That little kid is going to say those same things. He's going to regurgitate. He's going to bring up those same things that they hear and that they see. Also this, verse 21, "You show us your ethics by showing us your God, because it's seen that in how you treat others personally." He says, verse 21, "And you do not show personal favoritism or partiality, but teach the way of God." I don't need to belabor this other than this. It's amazing to me. They're saying, "Hey, Jesus, you're right on. You don't have favorites." And you guys, scribes and Pharisees, were the most notorious violators of showing favoritism. In fact, you've read the scriptures. They had favorite seats that they sat in that they reserved for them. They're the best seats in the house that nobody else could sit in, because they were supposed to have the best seat in the house that had all the right lighting and all the right acoustics and all the right exposure to everybody else. They had the chief seats. And Jesus says, I'm not like that. And they said, you know, it's really great that you're not like that. And they were just like that. It's amazing. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, the Bible says, we do not dare, listen to this, we do not dare class ourselves among ourselves and compare ourselves with others. Measuring ourselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, we are not wise. Wow. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you conduct or act toward unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. Church, I want to repeat that verse. Colossians 4:5, be wise in the way that you act toward unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. You guys, one of the precious brothers on staff here, he's an amazing prayer warrior. I just learned this a moment ago. It was amazing. On that Tuesday, he happened to have been at a restaurant in Covina that the news program was going to come on live. Check this out. Hats off to him. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want him to lose his reward in heaven. This is brilliant. He knew that we were going to be on the air on Fox. He goes to this restaurant and they had a bar there with screens at this Mimi's or whatever it was, I forget. They had screens, TVs. The flat screens and stuff were up there. He walks up to the person and says, can you turn it on channel 11, please, for just 10 minutes? No, we're just playing sports stuff. I'll give you 10 bucks. I'll give you 10 bucks if you put it on channel 11. And the guy goes, all right. Takes his 10 bucks, puts on the news, and he reported to me this morning that when that topic came on the TV, everybody got quiet. They watched it and listened. That's smart. You know what? That's smart living. That's taking advantage of every opportunity. I love it. Yeah, that's right, Todd. Figured the finance guy would figure that out. He goes, that's a good investment, 10 bucks. That's right. That's good. How do we treat others personally? As Christians, do we walk around condemning people and there's sparks flying out of our fingertips? No, we can't do that. Are we to speak the truth? Yes. Are we supposed to speak the truth in love? Absolutely required. We don't shy away from the truth, but we also, because God's truth is always able to be delivered in a package of love, we treat others in a way that's respectful. In John 13:35, Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. That's a great, great thing. Verse 22, we learn this is by example that you set publicly. You show us your ethics by the example that you set in a public forum, wherever you might go. And here's what they ask. And you guys, I wish we could have had a camera and a microphone at the moment. Here's their question. This is the golden moment to stump Jesus. This is their question that's going to ruin him forever. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Show Us Your God. It's a look at one of the times that the Messiah was challenged by his detractors and how he demonstrated his divine wisdom, as found in Luke chapter 20 and verses 19 through 25. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't visited the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. In fact, click the tab Radio Reaction and see how Real Radio is affecting the lives of other listeners. realradioactive.org. And then, of course, if you've got something to share with us in that department, you can tell us right then and there. realradioactive.org, then click the tab Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can also be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.